Good morning, church. Everyone doing well today? All right. Happy summer. Happy summer. Students are screaming, yay. And parents are screaming, let's pray, right? Like, let's pray. Parents need a lot of help during this time in summer, but it's so good to have the kids at home with us, right, parents? Right? We've been in a collection of talks entitled The Family Matters, The Family Matters. And so if you're new and you're just jumping in, that's totally okay. If you've been here and you've heard every single week, well, man, God bless you. That is awesome. Like Keith said, we are going to be jumping into week 8, and I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 14, where we'll start. If you have your Bibles, please read along with me, or your YouVersion app. If you don't have either, we'll have it up on the screen for you. Starting in verse 14, Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us." One translation says, "compels us," because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Somebody say amen. Verse 18, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses and sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, with Jesus, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Church, this morning I want to speak to you again from the subject, created to connect, created to connect. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you so much. Jesus, we thank you for the moments that we share. We thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Father, would you forgive me of all my sins? And I pray that you would help us to see the beauty, the majesty, and the goodness and the grace of your Son, Jesus, this morning. We love you. It's through Christ we pray. And all the church said, amen, amen. So, church, we are sitting in a room, right? Some of the Oak Hill staff are sitting in a room, and we're talking about this Family Matters series. And so there's about 10 maybe people around the table, and we are discussing topics and reoccurring themes that maybe are affecting the family right now, and just thoughts about what we want to share with you guys when it came to this series. And so when we got all those topics, from there we started to assign speakers to topics. And when the topic came up of technology and social media, hands down, everybody in the room, I won't name names, but including your lead minister, Travis Eads, leaned over and looked at me and said, "Yeah, give that one to the millennial. Give that one to the millennial," which is my generation. And I was a little bit offended. I'm kidding, I wasn't. But I sat back and I humbly accepted the invitation to speak on this topic. It's funny, right? Millennials are funny, occupying their parents' basements all over the world, right? Like searching for the best and greatest coffee bean all over the world. It's, why are you guys laughing? This is my generation, okay? It's what we do. But here's the deal. Let me be completely honest with you. I am no expert on social media. Like I am no expert on modern technology, right? Like I can't even get my MacBook to connect with my TV, right? People call that like stream it, just stream it. And I'm like, where are the streamers? Okay, like I don't see streamers anywhere here. Where are they? So like I just can't, I just don't get it. And so I got nerds. I mean, I got friends who help me with that kind of stuff. But I can tell you this, I can do two things. I can type and I can text without looking. Y'all aren't impressed. You are. And two, I know what a hashtag is. Thanks to Jenna Bishop. Thanks to Jen. I know what a hashtag is. But other than that, I'm beat, y'all. Other than that, I'm beat. And every time I think I'm catching up with these technology trends or these media trends, your sons and your daughters in student ministry will run up to me and they will be browsing some new cool app. And I will be like, what is that? Like, Sam, have you heard of this? And I'm like, oh gosh, I have no idea what that is, how to use it or anything. I am constantly always behind. I'm feeling behind when it comes to this media and technology. But today, church, based on this passage, I want us to see two things. I want us to see how God has wired us, how he has created us as human beings. And I want us to see how he has called us, how he calls us to use media and modern technology for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. And I believe this wholeheartedly. Please write this down in your notes or fill in the blank in your app. God created you for connection. God created you for connection. In other words, God's ultimate desire, God's ultimate heart, I believe, is to have connection. Another word you can put in there is to have relationship with you. God wholeheartedly desires, he's passionate about having relationship with you furthermore and you having relationship with others. I believe this because of verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So God reconciled, and that word carries with it, there was a debt owed. A debt was owed and payment was due, and humanity could not pay that debt. So God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and he paid the debt, reconciling us to himself, reconciling us to him. In other words, God allowed us to be reconnected to him, reconnected to our Father. Why would he do that? Because God created us to be connected to us. He created us to be connected to us. Now, why? Because this is what he does. And you can see this all the way in the beginning of time. Oh, go back to Genesis and you'll see that God was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. In other words, God was so connected to Adam. God was so connected to Eve. It was always his original plan and original desire was to be connected to us. And I believe it is our primary source for fulfillment and relationship. Connection to God. There is in every human being a longing, a desire to be connected to something, to be connected to someone greater. So what happened, right? Disconnection came. If you've read the story, if you know the story, disconnection came because of Adam's sin, scripture says, right? Well, really, we know, men, that it was Eve's sin first, okay? That's another message for another weekend, okay? But Adam's sin, scripture says, and disconnected us from God. In other words, Adam unfriended God. Unfriended God. Bad joke. Bad joke. But he did this for everyone. Right? Disconnection came not only for Adam and Eve, but also for all of humanity. And because of that, Ephesians tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead in our trespasses and sins, no hope. But Paul goes on to say, look, we've been reconciled or reconnected to God through Christ, the better Adam, the second Adam, the greater Adam. Jesus did this for us. How? Read in verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. Here you go. That one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts it. He says, our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. So we see here that God gave us back the best and ultimate connection with him via Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. Hashtag Jesus friend requested us back. I'm trying. So Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because of the reconciliation that he has made, the way that he has made, because of that, look, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We've been reconnected to God, and therefore, ambassadors, or another word for that is representatives for Christ. So this is where the light that is now in us begins to shine through us. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. We've been created to connect, and we are living in a day where we are more connected than ever. Specifically through technology and social media, we are so connected, and social media has revolutionized the way we connect. Bigger than mail and bigger than the telephone, social media has revolutionized the way we connect. I'll give it to you this way. An iPhone has more access, has more news and information than people living in the 1800s would have over the course of their entire life. We have so much information in the palm of our hands. So write this down in your notes. I believe wholeheartedly that technology, social media, can be a tool used to share the gospel of Jesus so that others might know Jesus and enter into relationship with him. But church, in order to understand where I'm going with this, I think it's important for us to understand the people of Corinth, the people that Paul was writing to, the city that they were living in. Corinth was a city of extreme diversity. And this diversity was due to the clashing of two people groups. You have Greeks and you have Romans. It was a Greco-Roman world. And you have Greek traditions, you have Roman traditions, you have Greek gods, Roman gods, and all of the mixture of that in culture, beliefs, and relationships through marriage. It was a city that became so inundated with outside influences, ideologies, and information. The Christians were constantly needing to be reminded that their relationship with Christ, in other words, their connection to Christ, was primary. Church, does this sound familiar to you? Does this sound familiar? It's been called the age of the digital disruption. Now more than ever, you and I need to stay connected to Christ. We need to stay connected to truth. Our pace of life today is so fast. Technology and media has tethered us to anything and everything. Our schedules, notifications, alerts, calendars, communication with people from anywhere in the world in the palm of our hands. We are overstimulated and nearly always browsing something. We love our podcasters, we love our YouTubers, and they influence our daily lives. All of this has infiltrated the households, and I believe for many families caused disruption. We are more connected now than ever, but I believe I believe we are more isolated than ever. Sadly, inactivity and obesity is on the rise among young children. Our young people are battling and struggling with anxiety, angst, severe depression, and for many, suicidal thoughts. It's not just limited to young people, but I am seeing this run rampant. In just this last year, we've had 3 teenage suicides, and suicide across America is on the rise. It's on the rise. So church, no matter the time, no matter the era, I think we can all agree we are all in constant need of God's grace. We're in constant need of grace because it's grace that keeps us connected to our Father. Grace reminds me of my union, of my connection with Jesus. Grace reminds me that I'm not alone. No, grace reminds me that He is with me. But grace also reminds us that in our weaknesses, and church, let me be honest, we all have weaknesses and shortcomings. In our weaknesses, His strength is made perfect. In other words, His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. So being connected to Christ is important, but also representing Christ with our lives is vital. Look at what Paul says in Colossians 3:17. He says, "Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way." Did you hear that? Every detail in your life, home life, family life, place, college, dorm, gym life, and this includes our social media platforms today. But remember, church, social media is a tool. It's a tool. A tool is neither inherently bad or good, but a tool's value is determined by its user. A tool's value is determined by its user. Let me give it to you this way. A hammer in my hands can do some good construct, okay? I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a handyman, but you know, I can hang some picture frames, like I can put up some bookshelves. I can do some good with a hammer. I can do some good construct, but a hammer in my 2-year-old daughter's hands, y'all, she needs much prayer. Please pray for her. Soul. She will cause damage. She'll cause damage. She will hurt someone. She will hurt someone else. But more importantly, she will cause damage to herself with that tool. I think we could all agree in this room today that technology can be toxic. I think we would all agree that social media can be toxic. But it all depends on its user. All depends on its user. Under my username, as Paul says here, we regard no one according to the flesh. Under my username, media can often be misused. It can often be misused when we use it operating out of the flesh. So let me just say this as it pertains to social media. Husband, wife, if it's social media that is causing you to sin and indulge in pornography or adultery, exposing that old self that Paul talks about, let me just encourage you, get rid of it. If it is bringing division in your marriage, if it's bringing division in your family because of a separate, maybe a hidden social media life that you have, then get rid of it. Parents, if you think your child who, if they have a smartphone or have a device, has not been exposed to pornography or they haven't been exposed maybe to sexting or trading images online, parents, you need to be involved. You need to be aware of your son and of your daughter's technology use. And friends, if it's causing you to covet, if it's causing you to compare and consume every part of your life, then may I encourage you to delete the app. If it's social media that is causing self-righteousness to well up and you're using it to criticize and judge non-believers, or maybe you're using it to judge other brothers and sisters of the faith on your social media platform, then rethink why you're using it. Posting about music you don't listen to, posting about shows you don't listen to, things that you don't do, making you a better and holier Christian does not, in my opinion, compel others to be drawn to Christ. It only repels. Man, let's post about how good God is. I don't want people to see my righteousness. I want them to see the righteousness that's been given to me through Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We regard no one according to the flesh. So if all you do is gossip and vent on social media, and you're like, yeah, I know the verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the thumbs tweet. That was a good one, right? Rethink why you have social media. And look, for kicks, let me throw this one in here. I don't believe no one has ever successfully persuaded a Republican to become a Democrat or vice versa on social media, right? Like there's no Republican that reads a Democrat's post on media and goes, you know what? They're right. I was wrong all along, right? Let's be cautious, okay? Let's be aware of what we're posting on our media. So parents, head of households, young adults, if you live by yourself, whatever your household consists of, I think it's important we ask ourselves this question: who is responsible for the technology in my home? Right? We've been given much information, and scripture says, to whom much has been given, much is required. So let's ask ourselves, who is responsible? Who is overseeing? Who is keeping track of the technology in our home? But church, please hear my heart. We are in this fight together. I don't want you to think that I have overcome all of the battles, all of the temptations that come with media. I have not. I'm learning and growing in this as well. I think we're all just trying to learn how to honor God with the media accessible in our hands. I mean, can we all just agree on that? We are all trying and learning how to honor God with what he's been given to us. And this goes so far beyond media. It affects every area of our lives. But I want us to be able to say that in everything we do, God, in everything that I do, I want it to bring glory and honor to you. And Paul says in verse chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So church, did you catch that? Paul says we are working together with Christ. We're working together with Jesus, partnering together with him, receiving the gift of grace, not in vain, because we know, we believe deep down, God will help us. He'll help us. You see, in Christ, social media can be a great positive force as we are becoming his ambassadors. Think of it as using his login credentials, operating out of the Holy Spirit, even in our media platforms. I don't think social media should be demonized. I don't think technology should be completely rejected. I think we should use it. I think we should use it as a tool for the advancement of the gospel. We're using it even here today to share good news with people all over the world. And friends, you can do the same. As we conclude this morning, I want to share with you about a friend of mine named Jacob, who, when he first arrived at Oak Hills, he was a mess. He was going through a very dark time in his life. One of the darkest times I think any mid-20-year-old young man would have to go through. And he was browsing social media one day and saw a post from somebody else about an event here at Oak Hills, and he said, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. I am at the end of myself. I will go. And so he showed up here, and for one of the first times in his life, he encountered God. He connected with God, and he also connected with community. And over the course of a process in his life, he has he is now serving here at our church. But it all started, and he's in a much better place, but it all started because he saw somebody else post something about an event on their social media platform. It can be a tool used as a positive great force, church, where people can come to the faith, where people can meet Jesus, where people can connect with him and enter into relationship with him. We can use it. So let's get healthy in our social media use, and let's use it together, working together with Christ for the sake of the gospel, for the advancement of the kingdom, giving glory and honor to our God, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, would you stand as we close? And I believe the band is going to come back out, and we're going to just close in a time of worship and adoration and exalting the name of Jesus. But before we do, I want to pray for you. So if you would, church, would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment of focus and concentration this morning? You know, Paul encouraged the church to refocus, to reorient their lives on truth, on their relationship with Christ. And maybe you're in here this morning and you have neglected that. Maybe you're in here this morning and you just haven't been focused on the truth of the gospel. Your relationship with Jesus has not been primary. I want you to know you have the opportunity, and the Holy Spirit is here for you this morning to invade your life and to help you refocus your life on the gospel. So Jesus, we come before you in all humility, God, thanking you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy in our lives. Lord, would you speak to us even now? And would you show us any part of our life? Maybe it's this specific topic of social media and technology, God, where we have misused, where we have not used this tool well, where it maybe has caused some damage in our lives. God, I ask and pray that if my brothers and sisters are in here, God, that they would surrender that to you, that they would allow you into that place and space in their life. But God, whatever the need is out here, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would bring our needs to you. God, that we would lay them down at your feet, and that we would worship you for who you are. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.